I think of that scripture where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And today I'm going to be dealing with this subject, and that is how to let God move. What if God was to move here today? Would you be ready for it? How would God move? Well, we're going to see the movement of God in a scripture in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you'll turn there, verse 7. Kingdom authority of witnessing. And we're going to see how God moved as Jesus met with the woman at the well. And if you find your place, would you stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. We talked about last Sunday the authority of Scripture. We said we're going to preach the gospel. Amen? That's what we want to do today. John 4, 7. You got it? Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself with his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Father, thank you for your word. May we be still and know that you're God and allow you to move here today. We've not come to quench or grieve your Holy Spirit. So we welcome the Holy Spirit here today. Would you bring conviction to our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you interpret truth to us today? I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. When I think of witnessing, I often think of Billy Graham, how God has used this dear man of God over the years. What a blessing Billy Graham has been. He tells the true story that he was in this smaller town, and he was looking for the post office. And he saw this young boy in town there, and he said, "Son, do you know where the post office is?" He said, "Well, sure. You go down this street, you take a right, and then it's the first building on your left." And Billy Graham said to the little boy, true story, he said, "Well, son, since you helped me find the post office, I want to invite you to a crusade tonight that I'm doing here in your city, and I want you to come, and I will tell you how to come to Jesus tonight." He said, "Well, sir," he said, "you don't even know how to get to the post office. How are you going to tell me to come to Jesus?" So, you know what? Sometimes we wonder, do we know what we're doing? By what authority do we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Last week we preached on the gospel. Today we're going to talk about how to share that gospel. Now, you can enjoy no greater blessing than to enter this subject of kingdom authority. Again, I want to say this, though. Satan, the one who loves to give misinformation, will do all he can to keep us from learning the truth of your kingdom authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. Remember when God put Adam and Eve in the garden? Remember what he said? He told them that they would have dominion over all that he had created. That means they were to rule and reign there on this earth. They were to rule. They were the king and the queen of this earth. But they disobeyed God. They yielded everything over to Satan. Therefore, they lost their dominion. Rather than having dominion over the earth, they allowed Satan to have dominion over them. I dare say that's where the church is today. A lot of people, we've listened to the lies of the enemy. I'll tell you one thing we listen to him. We just think it's too good to be true that our God in heaven would love us and forgive us of our sin. We just think that's too good to be true. So we beat our own selves up by not forgiving ourselves. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? If a holy, righteous God can forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? You're not holy, righteous, perfect God. You've got to learn to forgive yourself. You've got to learn to take authority. Satan has lied to us, and we believed his lie. And when Adam rebelled against heaven, Adam lost his authority on earth. But the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth and won back that victory that was lost by the first Adam. And I love, one of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 5, because Romans chapter 5 teaches everything that we lost in the first Adam, we gained in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, you have kingdom authority. Let me give you an illustration. You've heard of Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation. Do you know when he gave that Emancipation Proclamation that many people, the slaves, continued on the plantation? They continued as slaves. Now, they had been set free. Many continued to serve their old master. Why? Well, there were two reasons. Some did not get the news, and then some couldn't believe it. It seemed too good to be true, and there are many who have received the good news of our emancipation in the Lord Jesus Christ and our kingdom authority. And for others, it is just too good to be true that we could operate with any kind of authority. But something you got to get today, you serve a king, and we are his subjects, and because Jesus is king of our life, we have authority. We have authority, and what was lost in Adam was regained in Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you by what authority you have today to make an eternal difference in people's life. Don't you want to live your life to make a difference in someone else's life? I heard this story. It was a true story about a father and a son that would love to just carry tracts Saturday afternoon to people's homes, and they would go throughout the town inviting people to church on Sunday and just giving them a track. Well, this was a cold, wintry day, and it had snowed so bad that the father said to his son, "We're just not going to go out this Saturday afternoon. It's just too cold to get out." And the boy said, "Dad, I really feel like we ought to be doing this. It's only right that we continue to do what we've done regardless of the weather." And the father said, "Son, I just don't feel like it." And the son said, "Well, Dad, I don't mind getting out in the weather. Do you mind if I carry the tracks out?" So he went out throughout the town giving the tracks out, and it was really getting bad. I mean, the weather was getting worse, and he had one more track. And he thought, "What am I going to do? I don't want to take this one track back." So he went to this house, and he knocked on the door, and no one came to the door, and he knocked on the door, and no one came to the door. Finally, he just knocked real loud, and this man came to the door, and he looked like he'd been very emotional, and his face was red, and he was upset about something. And he said, "What do you want?" And the young boy said, "Sir, I just want to give you this track, and I'd like to invite you to church Sunday." Well, that boy didn't know that that man had got off his chair that he had set up upstairs where he had tied a rope around his neck, and he was about to commit suicide. But he heard the boy persistently knocking at the door, and he said, "Well, I'm going to go find out who this is." He went and got the track, closed the door. He read the track, and in the back of the track, it talked about how to come to Christ. And he prayed the sinner's prayer to receive Christ. He read the back of the track where the church was. It had a little map, and he went to that church that morning. He didn't commit suicide that Saturday night. Sunday morning, he walked the aisle and made a public profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The gospel's powerful. It not only changes lives, it saves lives. You never know how God might use you. If God can use a little boy with a little track, what can God do through you? You know, we have these little cards. They're all out there in the Welcome Center. We call them invitation cards. And sometimes just inviting someone to come to church can make all the difference. I'm going to show you how to do it today. Number one, the authority of love. We've got to learn to love the people that Jesus loves and the ones he died for. I'm telling you something. We all were lost without a Savior. And we've got to learn to love the lost. Now, what does love do? What is this authority of love? Love is a powerful word. Amen? Love will make you do strange things, especially when you fall in love with a girl or you fall in love with a boy. You'll spend money that you don't have, and you'll do things that you normally wouldn't do just because you fell in love. Oh, boy, is that true with me? Anyway, but it's true with all of us. How many of you are in love with Jesus? I got a challenge for you today, and I want you to write it down. I'm going to give you the challenge, but I want you to get three things. Number one, love obeys. Notice what Jesus says to his disciples there in chapter 4, verse 34. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus was under the authority of who? He was under the authority of his Father, amen? And he was there to do what his Father sent him to do. What was Jesus' purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I used to think, well, Jesus died on the cross because of my sin. Jesus died on the cross because he loves me, and all that's true. But you know primarily why Jesus died on the cross? To obey the Father. When he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus obeyed the Father. Whose authority? The Father's authority. And you're under that authority today. You've got a king in your life, King Jesus, and you're under his authority. Jesus said, you're going to go and do greater things than I have done because I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father. And if you really do love me, he says, you'll obey me. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. What is the greatest commission that God, the Lord Jesus gave to us, but to go? The Great Commission is to go ye therefore into all the world. That's our mandate. We've talked about the kingdom authority. The mandate of kingdom authority is for us to go. The message is teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. And the mission is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I love the last part of the Great Commission. We have the mentor, because Jesus said, I will be with you all the way. I'll be with you every step of the way. You will have my authority. Listen, church, he's saying you will have my favor. You will have my blessing if you will do what I tell you to do. It always pays to obey. Now, I know we have a rebellious attitude and we don't even like authority. But if we will learn to obey, God says, I will bless those who obey me. I will bless you. Church, all we've got to do is just simply obey his command and his commission. Luke 6:46. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you'll notice in verses 28 through 29 of John chapter 4, Jesus did not have to tell the Samaritan woman to go back into her city and bring the lost to him. She went just because she loved Jesus. Second of all, loving others. Now, here's an interesting subject for us to deal with today. You're never going to reach people unless you love people. Amen. You got to love others. And so that's the second point. Under love obeys is love others. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew ask of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You see, Jesus was tearing down walls here. He was tearing down the walls of racism. He was tearing down the walls of sexism. I mean, men and women, you know, you'd never see them. I mean, in fact, when the disciples came by, they couldn't believe that Jesus was sitting there talking to a woman. And a Samaritan woman, a Samaritan was a half-breed. I mean, no one wanted anything to do with this kind of person. No Jew would have anything to do with a Samaritan. And not only that, this was she was a promiscuous woman. She'd been married 5 times. The man she was living with was not her own. And here's Jesus with her, alone. You know why? Because Jesus loves others. He loved this woman. It's interesting, while men would condemn this woman and gossip about her, and certainly the women of the city had nothing to do with her because she came out to the well by herself, Jesus loved on her. Look up here, church. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do you love people? Do you love others? Jesus said this, you're to love your neighbors, you love yourself. Do you love your neighbor to go next door and tell them about Jesus? They know that you should. They know, you young people back there, they know, they're watching you. They know. I know it's tough being a Christian in school, but you know what? As I meet with you tonight, one thing I'm going to talk about is how that you're missionaries to your school. And you know what? I know it's not popular, but you know what? If you'll love people to Jesus, you can make all the difference. People want to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. And if you will love others, you'll see others come to Jesus. He doesn't come as a bully to force you to come to him. He doesn't come as a buffet offering you many choices of salvation. So how does Jesus come to others? This is how he comes to others. He simply says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's how Jesus comes to others. It's a simple way. He offers himself to you as the only way of salvation. And to understand and to grasp this truth is the purest form of wisdom known to man. And that is simply to say to others, Jesus loves you. I tell people this all the time. Jesus loves you just as much as he loves me. He died on the cross for you just as much as he did for me. God has no respect of persons. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And then love offers. Love offers. Look at verse 10 of John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. We must learn how to offer God's great love gift. This is how Jesus did it. The woman received God's love gift, John 4, 15, and the Samaritan received, all the Samaritans received God's love offering, John 4, 42. So before I leave this authority of love, I want us to claim this authority right now. All right? This is your homework. This is your assignment. Everybody ready? Even the children can do it. Okay? Guys, you ready? Write it down. Your challenge for the next 30 days is simply this. I want you to tell God how much you love him every day. Now, I'm going somewhere. So, preacher, what are you up to? Well, I got something up my sleeve. Now, you listen to this. Next 30 days, I want you to get up instead of saying Monday morning, oh, Lord, it's morning. Say, good morning, Lord. I love you. Instead of getting up every day saying, oh, I got to go to work, say, get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just thank you. I got a job to go to, and I love you, Lord. In other words, you wake up every day with a heart to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You say, well, preacher, where are you going with this? You can't be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and not want to share his love. You can't tell him for 30 days, I love you, 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 and then not want to tell someone. It just don't work. You know, you're thankful for God sending you a precious family. You love your family. You tell everybody, man, I love my husband, love my wife, love my children. We love, you know, bragging about our grandchildren, don't we? Well, if you love someone, you don't mind letting people know that you love them. Amen? If you love the Lord Jesus, love offers. Love gives it away. There's an old song that was sung in Bangladesh. It went like this. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. And love is not love until you give it away. And God gave it away on the cross. And if God could go to the cross through Jesus Christ, can't we go to our workplace and just share the love of God? Amen. You do it by your actions. You do it right here in church. Jesus said, this is how the lost world will know you and me, how you love one another. Amen? And if we can't love each other here, we might as well forget about loving the lost. It starts right here. Amen? So we've got to love the Lord. And by the way, I'm going somewhere today. We're going to talk about this woman in just a minute and how she left her water pot behind. That's the next challenge I'm going to get to, because I'm going to ask you as a church to leave some water pots behind you. We'll get there in a minute. All right, the authority of love. That's the kingdom authority you have. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to tell others about him. You agree with that or not? Amen. You're going to tell him. You're going to speak up. You're going to let others know that you are passionate. You've got compassion for others because Jesus died for all men. And then the authority of light. Light has power. It has the authority over darkness. It's funny how it is. This room can be pitch dark, and you could just cut one little light on, and it would make all the difference. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's talk about the power of light. Light reveals truth. John 4, 29 says, come and see a man. Now, this was all the woman said. I mean, you think about all the ways that we could talk about witnessing and sharing our faith. We're doing the biggest thing we do here as a church is Judgment House. as far as witnessing. That's the biggest thing we do. I mean, we do other things, our vacation Bible school, a lot of different revivals. We do a lot of things, but the fact is, this Judgment House is a big deal. And here's the power of light. Light always reveals truth. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She just said, come and see. I'm telling you something, there's power in that. In other words, come and see the light. A lot of people are walking in darkness and they don't know any other way. They don't know any other truth. They've lived in sin. They've walked in darkness all their life. The Bible says, when you live your life in sin, you're walking in darkness. But what is the power of the light? Remember in Genesis, the greater light was to rule the day and the lesser light was the night. How does light rule? By giving illumination of counsel. John 4:18, for thou hast had five husbands. Now, it's interesting how this light begins to show. Now, this woman gets uncomfortable here. He says, you have five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that, what you've said, he said, is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus does not give the gift of eternal life without first putting light on the real subject. And the real subject we got to put a light on, and this is what Jesus came to do, was to show us that we have sinned and we need a Savior. It's funny how this all worked in witnessing. Jesus never condemns the woman. He just puts light on the sin and says, you say you have no husband. You've had five husbands. The one you're living with is not your own. But he really doesn't condemn her. He just puts light on the subject. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, so she could see her need. And she tried to change the subject. She talked about worship a lot. But Jesus is not only the power of light, he's the person of light. Look at John 4:25. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all these things. Jesus said unto her, and I like the way Jesus said this, I that speak unto thee am he. He's the person of light. This woman had walked in darkness all of her life. Here Jesus is right in front of her. And here she is talking to the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, lights her world up. Are y'all listening to me? Don't be distracted now. Don't be looking around. Look at me carefully. Jesus is the light of the world. All we got to do is point people to the light. That's what she did. Come and see, told the whole city. Now, you think God wouldn't use you. I mean, this woman had messed up all of her life. She'd been married five times, living with a man on her own, but Jesus saved her and made her the first missionary, and the whole city came out to see, and they got saved. She got saved, the city got saved. She came to the personal light, and all she did was simply say this, come and see. Come and see. I can see. My eyes have been opened. I've seen the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen that light? If you've seen that light, you want others to see the light. Hello? You want other people to come into this light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that walketh in darkness is because he's chosen to live in sin. And then the purpose of light. What is the purpose of light? We're called to be light bearers. John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 28, the woman then left her water pot. I'm going to have some fun now. Y'all ready? I think it's just neat she left her water pot. I mean, that's the reason she came. She came to the well to draw water out of the well to fill her pot. It's interesting what happens here. The woman left her water pot. The light came on for the Samaritan woman. She left her old vessel because she was a new vessel of living water. She left her old life for a new life. She became the light bearer to her city. John 4:29, come and see the man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? That's her message. Retrieving drinkable water was no longer important to her. Telling others about her encounter with Jesus had become a priority. Luke 11:33 says, no man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. that they may, which come in, may see the light. Your job is to be the lampstand that God has ordained that you would let your light shine. I've heard people say, oh, if I could just get me a job with some decent people. I hear profanity. I hear God's name in vain every day. I hate my job. I wish I could get around a bunch of Christians. Did you know you're exactly where God puts you? God puts you there to make a difference in that dark workplace. And he's put you on a lampstand, yeah, so that you might let your light so shine before men that they'll understand that there's power here. I'll tell you, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The light of who Jesus is far outweighs the darkness of who Satan is. Hello? The person of light is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the purpose of light is my third point. Now, here's the dare here. I want to double dare you here, and I've dared you to tell the Lord Jesus you love him for the next 30 days. The purpose of letting your light so shine is simply this. I want you to do the same thing this woman did. I want you to invite. What if every person just invited enough people that just one other person came beside yourself? What would happen next Sunday? We'd have twice as many. Amen? And you know what? God's word will not return void. And by the way, I'm not through with the water pot. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But you've got to understand this, that God had a purpose in saving you. You got to understand this. The day you got saved was the best day for you to go to heaven. Amen? That was the perfect day for you to go to heaven. That way you wouldn't have to contend with this old world anymore. You wouldn't have to deal with all the junk of this world. I mean, you were made right with a holy God. I mean, at that moment, Jesus Christ saved you, but he left you here with a purpose to let your light so shine. Are you letting your light shine? You know why so many Christians are miserable? Because we're not obeying the God that we say we love. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. The great commandment, the great commission, is to go ye and to spread the gospel, the good news. The purpose of letting our light shine is to dare to make a difference, an eternal difference in someone's life. Today, there are people here, I've already seen them. I've been looking around. Do you know there are people here today that are here because they were invited to be here? But you know there's a bigger invitation than they realize? They're not just invited to be here. They're invited to be there for all eternity. And that's what we're here to do as a church. We're to let our light shine. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if the church understands its purpose. The purpose of the church, friend, is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, the purpose of the church is to win souls. You could build a building so big here and put a steeple on top of it that would interfere with supersonic jets. But God wouldn't care a holy grunt unless people were walking this aisle getting saved. We're going to have a baptism here in a couple of Sundays. We got quite a few to baptize. I want you to understand something, that God is still in the saving business. Amen? Let your light so shine. And you know what? Did you know people couldn't get saved in this church if we quenched the Holy Spirit? And that's the last thing I want to talk about today. That's something that God has really called my name on, and I feel like I need to share with you, and that's the authority of lordship. What does that look like? Kingdom authority. You will never be used to build God's kingdom or minister with kingdom authority until you're under the lordship, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be over until you're under. Do you understand that? He's Lord of all. He is Lord in this church today. Amen? Are y'all listening? He's Lord. That means that whatever he wants to do right now, he can do it. Now, I'm fixing to wrap this thing up, but I want you to help me wrap it up. Worship, because this was the big discussion. Verse 22 of chapter 4. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Jesus is saying this. For salvation is of the Jews. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you're saved, You have a well of water inside of you that is about to bust forth in worship. It really is. I don't know what it is in church that somehow we've been trained. There's a culture, there's a thought pattern that says we're to somehow bottle God up. We're to put Him in our water pot. You know, it's about time that we let go of our water pots. This woman left behind her water pot because that water pot was not going to take care of the well of water springing up inside of her. I'm telling you something in church today, we're wanting to put everything in a certain pocket. We think somehow we can put God in this pocket, and we can put Jesus in this pocket, and we can put the Holy Spirit in this pocket. Let me tell you something, friend. You can't control God, He controls you. You can't control Jesus, He controls you. You can't control the Holy Spirit, He controls you. We don't like it when we're out of control, but where Jesus Christ is Lord, I'll tell you something. You learn to worship in spirit and in truth. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said that I am to be worshiped. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. We've come up today with our forms of worship, our rituals. We've got a modern church today, and we think, well, I got to have some scroll lights. I got to have some fog machines. Well, I'm not really against those things, but I'll tell you this why I'm not against them. Because you want some lightning to take place, Jesus can give you some lights moving around. Amen. You want God to light up this place? He can send a thunderbolt right through this building. You say, well, preacher, now wait a minute. That's a little bit too much there. Let's just hold off a little bit now, preacher. I'll tell you what, preacher, because this is something I have said here. I would like to see one spotlight on the Lord's Supper table. I would like to see that. But He's the light of the world. If He wants to light up the Lord's Supper table, He wants to light up you. He can light you up. Amen? You ever heard of people getting electrocuted? You ever heard of people lightning hitting them? Well, I'll tell you what, I've had all that happen to me. I met Jesus. Amen? Jesus lights my fire. Amen? I mean, some people, Jesus lit their fire, but their wood got wet. And they're just sort of, they're like, well, I don't want to get too excited. You know, people get too excited, I think, these days, thinking, well, if we could get us some stroll lights, and I'm going somewhere, if we could get us some fog machines. By the way, God don't need a machine. Man, He's the maker of fog. You want some fog? God can send you fog. Amen? My daughter lives up in Boone. Every time we take 421 over, we can't hardly see the road. A lot of times there's so much fog in the road. God is the maker of fog. God's the maker of light. You want to see some stroll lights. You want to see some fog machines. But here's my question. Are we trying to manufacture the presence of God? Oh, I didn't think that'd go over too good. That went over like a lead balloon. Because our modern way of doing things is that let's create some ambiance. Let's get the atmosphere right. Let's get the lightning, get the lights going right. Let's get the fog machines going right. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't imitate God's presence. God moves the way He wants to move. He's Lord. Amen? And somehow we Baptists, and we get caught up in our denominations, and we think, well, God, we want You to move, but we want You to move our way. God, we want You to work in our life. I mean, we want You to hear and answer our prayers, but Lord, if You don't answer our prayers, then evidently something's going wrong here. You're letting us down, God. You didn't answer our prayers. Did you know the purpose of prayer is not for God to answer it? The purpose of prayer is for you just to get God, to get His to know His presence, to walk in His presence. And I know without a doubt, I know what this looks like. In this church right here at Gord Springs Baptist Church, if we'll give Him the worship our Lord is worthy of, what would God do through this body? Well, there's no limit what He can do. Because when the worship goes up, the praises go up, the blessings come down. Several guys were panning for gold. One discovered a big rock that was gold. They found so much more gold, they had to go to town to get more supplies. They agreed not to tell anyone. They started back to their discovery and looked over their shoulder, and over 100 people was following them. The gold diggers asked the crowd, "Who told you? Which one of our group betrayed us and told you of our find?" And here was the crowd's answer. They said, "No one. It was written all over your faces." I'm going to tell you something, friend. I have discovered gold tried in the fire. I have found in Jesus something more valuable than gold. And I believe if you've ever been in the presence of God, you'll never get over it. When you know the presence of God, you don't have to imitate anything. I'm telling you something, friend, God works in ways that you and I have yet to understand. And what God can do through this church is a whole lot more than what we've ever seen. If all we've seen is what God can do, we're sunk. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, but we've got to come to Him in worship. We got to praise Him. We got to thank Him. Why would people want what we've got when they come to our church and we're dead about the God we worship? Amen, brother. That's good preaching. I'm telling you something, folks. Why would they want what we've got when we're sitting here like a bunch of dead people? Hello?
I'm a Baptist, and I'm not going to be moved. This is my pew. I've been sitting here for 90 years, and I ain't going to move.
Folks, I'm telling you something. We got to let go of our water pots. Are y'all following my thinking? Let go of your water pot and worship the Lord. Don't put God in a water pot. Don't think that you just got to do it a certain way. Well, I got to have some strobe lights, got to have some fog, got to have that. No, we just got to have God and let God be God and get out of our rituals and our traditions. Tradition will kill you, church. This woman had her tradition. She had her water pot, but when she got Jesus, she left the water pot. You know why? She was more excited about that well of water she was drinking out of. Amen. She was drinking out of a fountain that would never run dry. I'm telling you something. This works. This is the result of true worship. The woman left her water pot. She left behind what she no longer needed. She gave up her water pot for a well of water that would never run dry. She left her sin for a Savior who promised her everlasting life. She left her old life for a new life. She left her love for a love that she had never known. She'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to find it in a man. She found it in Jesus. She left her thirst for a living water that she would never thirst again. True worship is leaving behind your water pot that has not been working for you. I mean, you've been living your life your way, hadn't you? And have you ever thought that my water pot's not working for me? I've been drinking out of this water pot, and it's just not meeting what I need. I mean, I need a well of water. I need more than just what's in a water pot. We must learn to leave our traditions and our forms of worship, our patterns of rituals, our water pots of music. Oh, yeah, we think, well, God, you can't use this. This is not. No, but the Bible says all instruments belong to God. I think it's sad that this sits here and it's not used. I don't think it ought to be used for the world. I think it ought to be used for the glory of God. I really do. I think of the little drummer boy. He said, I want to beat my drum for my king. What if you had someone over here hitting this drum for the Lord Jesus Christ instead of letting the world, I think I broke it, instead of for the world. I think he's worthy of our worship. Amen? There's only one king, and his name's not Elvis. His name is Jesus. Amen? And I'm not here to worship Elvis. Somebody said he was at Food Line, but I'm here to meet Jesus, amen? And we need to get caught up in worship, yes. Not with our rituals, not with our water pots of music, but rather to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then I've got a word. Here's the second thing. Folks, we're trying to dam up the presence of God with our water pots of worship when our God is like a raging river who wants to pour out his presence in true worship. Here's his word. I love this, John 4:41, and many believed because of his word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The word of God is the power of God to salvation. God's word is the only word that we have to witness. Can I get an amen? Folks, let me tell you something. You can go out and tell someone about Jesus. If you use your words, they won't get saved. But if you use God's word, they'll get saved. That's all you got is the word. Just give them the word. The authority is the word. You worship the word. You worship the Lord. You've heard a word. Have you heard a word today from God? Then how can you keep it to yourself? You got to share God's word. It's the word that makes the difference. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, that's not true. He said, well, preacher, you just read it in God's word. Well, the truth can't set you free unless you know it. Amen? You got to know the truth. And the truth is, the gospel we preached last week, that's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is we've heard a word from God. And the word from God is that he said, I will never allow my word to be void. It will go forth and accomplish that which I sent it forth. The last thing is work. I love this. I've already read this verse. Verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And he said to finish his work. In John chapter 4, he talks about, you know, the disciples come back. And they say to Jesus, has some man given you to eat? They went to buy meat. They bought the meat and they came back. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. He said in verse 35, look at verse 35, what he said to his disciples. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I really believe the word for our church right now in accomplishing the work that God's called us to accomplish, there needs to be a sense of urgency because time is running out. We need to get broken about what God's called us to do. You see, the devil will do everything he can to distract people. Get your eyes on this. Get your eyes on a man. I want to tell you something. I want to be this kind of preacher. I don't want you to ever follow this man. I want you to follow this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He'll never lead you wrong. Amen? I don't know what it is about people. We like to get our eyes on people. We like that spiritual man. We like that hero. We like that person we look up to. Let me tell you something, friend. You look up to any other man than the Lord Jesus Christ, you've committed adultery. You're worshiping man instead of worshiping God. Any man that's worth anything is going to point you to the Savior. Amen. And there's only one Savior, and his name's Jesus. Amen? Amen? That's the work that God's called us to. And the harvest, it's not like it in the Anderson Creek community, there are not people out there that need the Lord. Man, people need the Lord in this county. Amen? Amen. Man, people need the Lord. I go around and I think, oh my gracious, how Satan, and I've thought a lot about this, y'all, and I'm still sort of new in this area, but I think, man, the military, wow, the sacrifices that are made and families that I didn't realize that the wife pays such a price, the children pay such a price for our freedom. And then I get to thinking about this, all kinds of thoughts go through my mind, that these guys go to these places in this world where evil has been birthed at and sin has abounded and people have no value of life, and those evil spirits jump on our guys, and then they come back here and the devil works in them and through them. And we've got, folks, we got to get serious about this work because Satan is working overtime to destroy all of mankind. He really is. I mean, right here in Harnett County, people killing each other, shooting each other. I mean, it happens all over. Look at all that's happening today. Somebody better take some authority, because if we don't, Satan will. And Satan has taken authority. In our schools, all the schools have to have a sheriff's deputy or some kind of police there. Even in our churches. You can't even go to a country singing in Las Vegas without being scared of being shot to death. What am I trying to say? If you and I don't stand up and take authority over the devil, he will take authority in your life. He will. It's just by default. He will take over. Why is it you don't have to teach a child to do wrong, you have to teach a child to do right? Naturally, they know how to do wrong, right? Satan knows how to take authority. We Christians sit back and think, well, okay, I'll give God, give him an hour of worship. Preacher preaches past 12, I'm through. You know, I just want a little word to do you, just a little dab to do you, little words, okay? Oh, work? No, I don't want to work for the Lord. I just want others to work for the Lord. I'll enjoy the blessing of seeing others work for the Lord. Folks, he's Lord. And he's either Lord of your life or he's not Lord at all. He's the Lord of all your life or he's not the Lord at all. He's not playing no games with us. And here's my challenge, and this is what God spoke to my heart about this message. How to take authority as far as witnessing. Let go of your water pot. Turn it loose. Quit holding on. We're over here with a little water pot, and our God has a whole well of water springing up to everlasting life, and we're over here saying, I'm going to drink this little cup. It tastes so good. I like my little world.
I'm going to be one of those little Christianettes so I can run to the kitchenette and learn how to smoke a cigarette and become a majorette. I'm just going to be a sissy preacher. Can y'all see me as a sissy preacher? No, I'm not a sissy. I mean business, folks. We are to be bearers of the light, and we've got a well of water living in us. If you're saved, you got a, do you believe that? You got a well, and your well can never run dry. We're going to give the invitation now. Here's the challenge I want to give you. Will you start today coming to this altar and say, Lord, I want to love you like I've never loved you before. Lord, I want to praise you like I've never done before. Folks, it's time for the Christian to step up. The devil stepped up. His days are numbered. He knows that. We Christians are laid back. Lord, I'm going to love you more than I've ever loved you before. I'm going to serve you more than I've ever had before. I'm going to praise you more than ever before. Lord, I'm letting go of the water pot. She left her water pot because she had a whole well of water that she was promised would never run dry. I want to promise you something today. I can promise you this in the authority of this book. You let Jesus Christ be your life, and he'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Amen. Amen. Sin will leave you thirsty. And sin will beat you up and eat your lunch and eat your supper and everything. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen people suffer because of sin. Jesus Christ suffered for you. He paid the price so that you can be forgiven. Now forgive yourself and get on with God. Amen? Amen. Grow up. Be a man. Be a woman. And say, you know what? Enough's enough, devil. I'm tired of you, devil, destroying my home. Amen? Amen. I'm tired of you destroying my children. All it takes is some soldiers of the cross. We got a number of guys here that's willing to go and give their life for our freedom. Well, how about you taking a step today and say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm letting go of the water pot. I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to dive into that well. I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart. And you know what the result of that is? Great things will happen when you love the Lord with all your heart. Amen. You'll obey the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what if I get too much? You're not. What if I get too much of God? You're not. What if I get too much of Jesus? You're not. What if I get the Holy Spirit and I start doing weird things? You won't. But you'll be doing the right things because he's a gentleman and he will always lead you right. Don't follow man. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He will lead you right. Let's all stand. We're going to have a prayer and we're going to sing this song. I want us to sing it from a heart that's broken today. People need the Lord. You know the song. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, look up here. I can't think of a greater time than right now to be saved. Nobody leaving. Don't want you walking out the door. I want everybody focused on this altar right now and taking authority in your own life. By the way, who's going to give an account for you? You are. You are. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Husband, wife can't do it. You've got to decide today. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to settle for a water pot when I've got a whole well of water springing up. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to challenge you to walk this aisle today. He walked all the way to Calvary for you. Would you walk this aisle today and say, I don't want a water pot, preacher. I want the whole well. That's the promise that Jesus made to this woman. I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. Father, as we sing this song today, help us to be broken. Help us to feel a sense of urgency. Time is running out. Lord, we're here today because we love you, Lord. And God, I pray that we will begin inviting people because people need the Lord. We're to be your lamp stand. We're to let the light, the Lord Jesus, be seen in us. We have the authority in Jesus' name. You've commissioned us to go ye therefore. So God, right now, I pray that we'll get serious and let go of our water pots of tradition and allow the whole well to abide in us, that living water will spring forth like a raging river and you will flow through us life to others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to sing, You Come, this altar's open. People need the Lord.